Well, there's so many folk that I've spoken to here at KCC who said, I came to the church and their Pastor Ian was preaching and he preached just what I needed to hear from God. And I gave my life to Jesus, so I came back to God. So many testimonies. And so I would like us to, let's give Ian a really, really, God bless you as he comes to minister God's word. God bless you, Pastor Ian. Thank you.
Well, praise God. It's really good to be here. We're right grateful to God for the invitation. Thank you so much, Pastor Phil. And it's lovely just to be with so many friends and so many people we've loved for so long. God bless you. I want to share with you some thoughts from Isaiah 55 because it talks about the extremities of God's love for us. It talks about the depths of feeling that God has for us. It talks about just how intensely God loves us. Amen. So I want to look at this. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. What sort of language do we have here? You may say, well, it sounds poetic. It has a lot more to convey to us than that. First of all, I want to say to you that this is the language of invitation because God invites us to come to him. God invites us to enjoy him. God invites us to dwell with him, to walk with him. Hallelujah. It's the language of invitation, of divine kindness, of generosity. Because God is kind, generous, loving, and merciful. Hallelujah. Amen. As you look at these verses where it says, come, I'm reminded of Jesus when he stood at the Feast of Tabernacles. When, as part of the ceremonies that went on during the week of celebrations, they poured out water. And on the last day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said in the loud voices, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And out, for him who believes, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit. Hallelujah. That God wants you to have that anointing. God wants you to have that blessing of his presence, the richness of the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence is for you, is for each one of us. Hallelujah. As you think, as you go through the New Testament, you know it's talking about here about getting things without money, without price. Jesus fed the 5,000, didn't he? Yeah, that didn't cost him anything. And then again, he fed the 4,000. And that didn't cost him anything either. Just a few loaves and fish. And Jesus multiplied it. But everybody ate and was satisfied. Hallelujah. So these verses have been fulfilled in the ministry of Jesus. These verses speak very much of him. God is calling you to enjoy his presence. He's calling you to a feast of inner peace and satisfaction. Hallelujah. Why spend money, the scripture says, on what is not bread, on your and your labor on what does not satisfy? Don't waste away chasing after things that do not satisfy when Jesus is the bread of life to us. Hallelujah. He's the living bread that satisfies. He's our saviour, our healer, our friend, our great high priest. He's our provider. He's our helper. Hallelujah. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Hallelujah. then there's none to compare with his provision. No one can touch him. His provision is simply magnificent. Amen. Hallelujah. You have a need? Bring it to God. I can tell you that he abundantly satisfies. Hallelujah. Do you remember the story of Jesus by Jacob's well, where he spoke to the Samaritan woman? You remember how she turned up at midday because she didn't really want to be around when everybody else was drawing water. She was a bit embarrassed. She had had five husbands, which Jesus pointed out, and the one you're living with at the moment, that's not your hubby, by the way. She went away. She went back to town. She said, "He told me everything I ever did. Come and see him. Come and isn't this the Messiah? Isn't this the Christ?" Meanwhile, the disciples had arrived back. And as the Samaritans from the village were all making their way out to where Jesus was at the well, you could see them coming across the fields, no doubt. As Jesus was there, he said to the disciples, "I have food to eat you know nothing about." And they had this conversation among themselves. Has someone brought him a hamburger? Has he had a Chinese meal? Did someone call Just Eat? Has he had fish and chips? "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." And in Isaiah 53 and verse 11, it says, "After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied." And I want to tell you, when Jesus had done the will of God and when he finished the work, when he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, he sat down abundantly satisfied. Hallelujah. He was completely satisfied. And he is fully satisfied in every way. And there is a key here for us to understand that if you want to be satisfied in life, you want to know the key to being satisfied, to having a deep satisfaction that will last. Do the will of God. Amen. Walk in God's ways. Walk in God's will. Yes. Do everything he says to you. Complete the work that he gives you to do, and you will be abundantly satisfied as well. Hallelujah. Amen. The way to be dissatisfied is to go your own way. The way to satisfaction is to go his way. Amen. Bless the Lord. Amen. Give him a round of applause. Hallelujah. Then I want to suggest to you that the language is not only language of invitation, but it's also the language of faith. Whenever the language of faith is used, it challenges reason. Come, what can you get for nothing? Come buy wine and milk without cost, without money and without cost. It challenges reason. But God sees something bigger and better and greater than we can understand with our reason. And the language of faith is the language of divine override. Yes. Hallelujah. It's where God overrides the natural. And when we begin to speak the language of faith, we begin to move not just in the natural, but in the realm of God, in the supernatural. That's the place where God performs the miraculous. That's when the glory of God is revealed. Hallelujah. Jesus used the language of faith. on many occasions. I can think of a very obvious one when he was approached by a synagogue ruler called Jairus. And Jairus had a 12-year-old daughter. She was dying or at the point of death. And indeed, before Jesus got to her, she did die. And Jesus said to Jairus, who was heartbroken, I expect, despairing, he said, "It's all right. It's all right, Jairus. Just believe." And Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John. When he got there, all the mourners were in full swing. The house was a place of wailing, a place of sadness. And Jesus said, "She's not dead, she's only sleeping." And they all laughed at him. But in terms of what God knew what he was about to do. Jesus knew what he was about to do. Jesus knew that her condition was temporary. And for him, it was just like he was that just like Jairus' daughter was sleeping. Hallelujah. And he knew that in a minute or two, he was going to wake her up. Glory to God. And that's what he did. He put all the wailers out, incidentally, because you don't operate in an atmosphere of unbelief. But he put all the wailers out, and then he took Peter, James, and John in with him, because he wanted them to see how it was done, because he wanted them to do it after he'd gone to glory. Hallelujah. And then he said, "To Peter, I say to you, arise." Took her by the hand, and she got up. Mum and Dad were Mum and Dad were absolutely over the moon. They're thrilled to bits. And Jesus is concerned for practicalities. And so he said, "Give her something to eat. Give her something to eat." But Jesus used the language of faith, of divine override. And then the miraculous happened. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you about what happened in Cana of Galilee, because I think the language of faith was used there as well. When Jesus was in Cana of Galilee, he went to a wedding near the beginning of his ministry. He went there with his disciples. Not only was Jesus there with his disciples, but Jesus' mother was there as well. And they went to the wedding celebration. Now, wedding celebrations were a bit different in Jesus' day to what we have. Ours may last a day. Theirs went on possibly for 5-7 days. It was a long celebration. So they had to get in lots of provisions. They had to get in lots of food. I spent lots of, and there was lots of wine. The water there wasn't trusted. And they needed lots of wine. So they had ordered in lots of wine, but I'm sorry to say, they didn't get enough. And they ran out of wine. Now this was in the middle of the celebration. This would have been a disgrace for the family. It would have been a terrible tragedy. So you can imagine the servants talking amongst themselves. And one of them perhaps went to Jesus' mother and said, "They've run out of wine and there's no more wine." And Jesus heard about it because his mother said to him, "The wine's gone. They've got no more." And Jesus, it seems, sort of like protested mildly. But Mary had this sense that this was Jesus' moment, that Jesus was about to do something. It was as though Mary, who had listened to all these people speak about Jesus from the time of the angel Gabriel onwards, she'd watched him all her life growing up. She'd begun to see the things that he was doing and saying. And it was as she said, "Whatsoever he says to you, do it." She was moving in a gift of faith. She was moving and speaking with the language of faith. "Whatsoever he says to you, do it." Here's Mary the evangelist. Hallelujah. It's evangelism, it's pointing people to Jesus and saying, whatsoever he does, do it. Whatsoever he says to you, do it. Hallelujah. So Jesus, as he's looking out, looking around the room, he sees these six stone water jars that each held between 20 to 30 gallons of water. That's a lot of water. Say they're an average of 25 gallons each. Six of them, that's 150 gallons. Now, the servants had to go and get it. Now, it wasn't as though they could put a hose pipe, attach it to the tap. They had to go to the well. They had to lower it into the well. They had to bring water up from the well. They had to carry it back to the house and empty it into these stone jars. Do you think they did that in 5 minutes? I rather think not. I rather think that this took quite a long time. And the interesting thing is, you know, it doesn't seem that they were grumpy about it. It doesn't seem that they were thinking, well, I don't know why I've got to do this. This is a stupid thing to do. Here we are short of wine, and all you're doing is filling these things up with water. There's none of that, because the scripture says they filled the water jars to the brim. They went the extra mile. They didn't leave them half full, think, well, that'd be good enough. Wasn't like something you could get in the shops, you know. You look at the packet, it's enormous. When you open up, you have to go down 4 inches to find it. You know, it wasn't like that. They filled it up to the brim. They filled the water jars up to the brim because they bought in to Mary's faith. They had faith as well. Hallelujah. And then Jesus said, take some to the master of the banquet. And the master of the banquet, when he tasted it, he called the bridegroom over and said, everyone puts the best wine out first. And then when people have had too much, you know, that you bring out the cheap stuff. But I'll tell you this, you've saved the best till last. Hallelujah. So it's the glory of God was revealed in meeting the need of that family. Hallelujah. Oh. The miraculous follows obedience and faith. It may be that God has asked you to do something and you're getting on with it faithfully and you haven't seen a lot of evidence of divine activity and you're wondering why you've been called to do it. Just be faithful to what God has called you to do, and when it is finished, you will see the glory of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't give up. Hold fast to what God has called you to do, and God will bless you. Don't be weary in well-doing. Let's hold fast to what God has called us to do. Let's press in, and we'll see God at work. Hallelujah. I tell you this, it was a lot of work that went into the building of the tabernacle in the desert. But when it was finished, then the glory of God fell. And the same with Solomon's temple. When they built the temple, it's a lot of hard work putting it up. But when it was finished, the glory of God fell. Hallelujah. So the world's version of things is seeing is believing. But in the kingdom, it doesn't work like that. This is how it works in the kingdom. Believing is seeing. Hallelujah. So we believe, we press in, we press on, and God does the rest. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a round of applause. Hallelujah. There's one other thing that God did in Cana of Galilee, and it may have followed on from the first one, really, because I'm sure everyone in Everyone in town heard about that, and well beyond. Hallelujah. And later on, there was a nobleman in town. He had a son in Capernaum who was sick and close to death. And Jesus went back there, and the nobleman came to him and said, "Please, sir, can you come with me to Capernaum? Because my son is dying. Come and heal him." And Jesus just said to him, "You people won't believe unless you see signs and wonders." And he said, "Sir, please come. Please come. My child is dying. Please come." And Jesus said, "You may go. Your son will live." Hallelujah. So Jesus spoke the word of faith. Jesus spoke in the language of faith. He had a gift of faith for this boy's healing. This conversation occurred in the seventh hour. That had been about 1 o'clock, a little bit past midday. And the servants, when they met this nobleman, the nobleman left with this word from Jesus that his son was going to get better, and he went back to Capernaum. When he met the servants, and the servant said to him, "Oh, your son's all right. He's making a full recovery." Hallelujah. And so the nobleman said, "What time did he get better?" "Oh, it was the seventh hour. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. It was 1 o'clock, 1 o'clock, just after lunch. It was 1 o'clock. And he suddenly perked up and he's made a full recovery." Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. So you see, the language of faith comes again and again. It's the language of faith and divine override. And Jesus is keen to see the church living in faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. Amen. So let's expect God to use us. Let's expect God to fill us with his spirit. Let's expect God to do the impossible. Hallelujah. If you have faith for nothing, you won't be disappointed. That's what you'll get. But let's have faith for God to work. Let's have faith for the divine intervention. Let's have faith for Jesus to minister among us. Let's have faith for Jesus to reach out in the community and do all manner of mighty miracles, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Give him another round of applause. Hallelujah. Maybe you feel that you haven't responded to God in the right way, and you wonder whether God will forgive you. Well, you have your answer in the chapter that we read, because it says if we seek the Lord and turn to him, he will show us mercy and he will freely pardon. Hallelujah. So maybe you've been coming to a place of faith, but you haven't quite got there yet. And you're just sort of mulling it all over. This could be your morning when you come to faith and when you receive forgiveness. You see, Jesus put it like this. Maybe you've said in your heart, "God could never forgive me after what I've done." Well, Jesus anticipated your question. Jesus anticipated that, and he said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. You may find it hard to forgive. I delight in it." You may be quick to anger, but I'm not. Hallelujah. So humanity, by and large, swift to anger, slow to forgive. And God, what does it say of him? He's slow to anger and he's swift to forgive. Hallelujah. In fact, when we ask for forgiveness, and the scripture says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we call upon him to forgive this, God institutes a party in heaven. God is absolutely delighted. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So the word of the Lord to you, if you put your faith in him, the word of the Lord to you is this. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. And the mountains and the hills, they're going to celebrate with you. In other words, you're going to feel that you're in harmony with your surroundings because you've got this deep peace in you. You've got the joy of the Lord in you, which is bubbling up. The joy of the Lord, which is your strength. And you will feel in harmony with God and in harmony with your surroundings because the whole of creation is going to celebrate with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm encouraged by these things, church. I'm encouraged that God has good things to do in our lives. Don't worry about your past. Put your hand in his hand and let him hold you now and hold your future. You can't do anything about your past. The cross deals with that. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And the scripture says, this is truly amazing, friends. I find this truly amazing. But it says, by one sacrifice, Jesus has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Hallelujah. You think, surely God can't see me like that. Well, I want to tell you, that's the word of God. Hebrews chapter 10. It says, by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. So we are being made holy. And as far as God is concerned, he sees us clothed in the perfection of Jesus Christ. So is this good news, church? Yes. Amen. Is this good news? Is this good news or is it good news? Come on. Yes. It's good news. Hallelujah. Give him a round of applause. Hallelujah. Who is he that accuses? It is God who justifies. God has justified you. Don't let anyone condemn you. Don't condemn yourself. Don't let the devil condemn you. God has justified you. In fact, Christ has died and has risen and ever lives to make intercession for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Nothing is going to separate you. Nothing is going to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, height nor depth, death nor life, demons, angels, nothing will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Glory to God. Give him a round of applause. Well, I think I have said what God wants me to say. So if it's all right for you, I'm going to pray for you now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we give you praise today. We lift up the name of Jesus here. May your name be lifted higher and higher. May your great name be praised, exalted, and worshipped. Truly, you are wonderful. Your name is wonderful. You're our mighty God. You're our everlasting Father. You're the Prince of Peace. And we put our trust in you today. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, bring people into true faith today. Lord, if there's anyone on the edge of faith today, I pray that they will enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. May they be saved this very hour. And Lord, I want to pray for KCC as a church. Lord, that it will prosper in every way, go from strength to strength. Lord, I pray that this church will see explosive growth, and Jesus, that it will make an enormous impact, not just locally, but far beyond this location. I pray, Lord, that the faith, the language of faith, the move of faith, the touch of God in this church will touch nations. Hallelujah. I pray that they will cross many boundaries and reach peoples to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. I pray that you will do exceedingly abundantly above everything we've asked or even imagined. Hallelujah. And I had this amen. I had this thought this morning before I came, that if you're planning for explosive growth, then you need to give careful thought to how you're going to harvest it and how you're going to preserve the growth that God gives you. You're going to have to give careful thought to what God is going to do, because you don't want to lose the benefit of a revival moving through the church. Amen? Amen? So plan as though it's coming tomorrow. Hold him fast until it arrives. And God bless you. Amen.